Greetings, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this Sunday, I'm going to call it Father's Day Sunday, Confirmation Sunday, a celebration of life Sunday. There's a lot of things going on today. We're going to read from the Gospel of Matthew, continuing on from where we left off last week. We'll read from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 8. And we'll read verses 18 through 27. If you're willing and able, please rise for the reading of a gospel text. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 18, continuing in Jesus' name. Now when Jesus saw the crowd come around him, he gave orders to go to the other side. And the scribe came up to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, birds have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another disciple came to him and said, "Lord, first let me go bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me. Leave the dead to bury their own dead." And when he had gotten into the boat, the disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea. So the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And when they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we're perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid, O you of little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea. There was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this that even the sea obeys him?" Amen. Please be seated. Father, this is your word that's before us. As men and in flesh, we don't have a clue. We like to play religion, Lord. But allow this word to be real to us. That we would see that even by the command of Christ Jesus himself, the storms go away, that we sustain, that we can move forward. We ask that you would sanctify us in your word, because your word is the only truth. We ask it in his name. Amen. Last week, when we got together, we spoke very openly about the aspect of a leper being healed. We talked about how the fact of it is the leper came and he asked for himself. Then we seen that the centurion was seeking to have his servant healed. And we understood the aspect of not only did the leper ask for himself, but a centurion came along and sought for another. And then we saw that Jesus healed Peter's mother. And nobody asked him. He just was in their presence, and he did what was right in their eyes, in his eyes, and he healed. And people were amazed. And so anyways, as these events start taking place, there's a great crowd that's building up around Jesus. And this is oftentimes, I believe, why Jesus tells the individuals that have miracles happen to him, don't say anything. Because the crowds just get unmanageable. They got to start ripping holes in the roof to get people to come down and be healed. And so it's just basically a logistic thing here that it's getting very difficult to go about and do the ministry because people are seeing the miracles. So the crowd's coming around him. It's starting to get built up. A mob mentality could be taking place. We don't know. So he wants to go on the other side. And so he leaves this area and he goes over on the boat and they're starting to head over to a different area. And the fact of it is, a scribe comes up to him and he's saying, "I'll follow you anywhere." And sometimes Jesse feels that way. Sometimes Jesse feels like, "You know, Lord, I'm unstoppable in you. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll follow you anywhere." And then someone dies. Well, where are you? Or someone gets beat up. "I was so confident yesterday. Where are you?" Or, "I can't make a house payment. This is real. I got to pay for my house." And Jesus is saying, it's not easy. You stand in front of me and you're telling me, "I'll follow you anywhere. Will you?" It's easy for us to look at young adults and say, "This is what they need to do." Well, what about us? Individuals in Christ, what do we do? And so, he turns around and he says, you'll follow me anywhere? He says, foxes have holes. They have a den. They have a place to go to every night. He says, you know, the birds, they have a nest. I got a bird right now that's building a nest and probably got eggs in there. I didn't even look because I'm not going to disturb it on my little porch at the farmhouse. And every time I open that door, that thing flies away and I feel bad. I don't even want to go outside anymore because I feel like the eggs are getting cold. But the birds has a nest. He knows where it is. He can fly for miles, come back to that nest. He says, but the Son of Man, he has nowhere to lay his head. Do you know what you're saying when you say you'll follow me? If I could put it in our plain English, you don't know what tomorrow brings. You never know where you're going to be. And this is the reality of it. He says, this is all going on. Never thought of that. Doesn't give us any answers what the scribe says. Now, this is a religious leader in the Jewish temple. He's a scribe. He would write all the documents. And another disciple comes up to him and says, almost kind of you could get the hint, I'll follow you, but not right now. How many of us have said that in our life? Lord, you're first and foremost in my life, but first let me just get this one more job done. Let me get out of debt a little more. I did that with seminary. Oh, yeah, Lord, I can't go yet. And I didn't have enough debt, so I went and saw my buddy Stephen D. Polisari, and I borrowed some more. When I see him in a suit today, I get nervous. I'm thinking, am I borrowing money? I don't know what to think with Gary in a suit today. But the reality of it is we oftentimes say, Lord, yes, but not yet. The devil never tells you not to follow Jesus. He doesn't. Just not today. Not yet. Procrastination is a good pavement for the path of destruction. Jesus makes the opposite claim. He says, when an individual is plowing, put your hand to the plow and don't look back. Lord, I'll follow you. But first, I got to take care of this detail. And I think the reason that it talks about burying the dead is because we would understand the seriousness of this. The seriousness of this. If we said, well, the guy came up to him and said, Jesus, I'll follow you, except I got to put a roof on my mom's house first. We'd be like, well, that's dumb. But what Jesus is bringing first and foremost to the front is when we follow Christ, we are raising the dead. We're giving life to those that don't have life. We're sharing a gospel that frees them from the shackles of this earth. And I think that's really what Jesus is bringing out here. Let the dead bury the dead. He's not saying don't have a respect and a reverence for those. But what are we doing today? Today we're going to be doing a service for an individual that is dead. But is she truly dead? No, Jesus makes a promise that if you die in me, you will never die. We are here today, later in the afternoon, to give honor and respect to what God has done through someone's individual life as she taught Sunday school, shared in the church, did all of these things, promoting the kingdom of God. And in our service, Lord willing, we'll share the gospel. You can do both at the same time. You can run your business and be a Christian. You can run your family and be a Christian. You can bury your family and be a Christian and promote the gospel. You don't need to stay behind. And this is important for the youth that we just confirmed, because oftentimes the world says you can't be successful and be a Christian. That's garbage. You will be all the more successful when you give honor and glory to God. My son went through confirmation and he didn't want to go. I won't even say which one. I won't tell you it was the youngest. You now who personally know us, know who it is. If you don't know us, you don't need to know. But the fact of it is, he was nervous, and he's always been more of a nervous Nelly. And he was nervous. And I've seen it 100 times at confirmation camp. The parents drop the child off, and they're in the corner. They're quiet. They don't want to talk to anybody. I get it. I'm not making fun of anybody. But when the Spirit of God is there, and the love and the encouragement of his gospel is there, they come out of their shell. And when mom went and picked him up, she said he talked all the way home. And one of the things that he said, and this was 15, 18 years ago, I still remember it. Mom, it was so cool because I could be a Christian there with no judgment. I could be who I am. In school, I got to hide it sometimes. And, you know, here, I got to hide it sometimes. But there, we were all of the same mind. And I could be me. You can be you, guys. Henry, you can be you and be a Christian. Blair, you are you and you can be you as a Christian. Kyle, wherever you are over there somewhere, same thing. And I've enjoyed these guys. I tease them about being quiet. But it's interesting. One of them will start talking and then the others are quiet. But then one will put down the talking stick and the other one picks it up. And they always surprised me. Because it's like, I saw almost like the body of Christ working together. When one didn't want to talk or say anything, the other one stepped in. And then when the other one didn't, then the other one stepped in. You can be who you are and be a Christian. Allow God to honor and glorify himself through your life. So they get into a boat, and the disciples are following him, so they get into the boat also. And they're out there in their middle. They're probably about 3 miles out, and this big storm starts coming. We know that. We just did a great thing here today. We're successfully, you know, confirmed some students. Life is good. Everything is happy. They're in the boat. Tomorrow the storm might start. And the storm comes along and it starts swamping the boat. It starts filling it up. We start having troubles about the future. We have troubles about work. We have troubles about this. We have troubles about that. Maybe in our lives it's the marriage. Maybe in our lives it's addiction. Maybe in our lives it's financial burdens. There's all kinds of waves coming at us. And we feel overwhelmed. Ricky and Amanda are feeling overwhelmed because the waves are coming at them. There's a high, there's a low. There's a high, there's a low. But Jesus Christ is coming through over the waves. Jesus Christ is constant and consistent, and we need to look to him and stop looking to the waves. They're hard not to see. It's scary. Like when people say something to me and I get all hurt, my wife says, "Don't take it personal." Well, how do you do that? They said it to me. Look beyond the comment. Look beyond the difficulty and look to Christ Jesus. If anyone needs this message today, it's me. So if you need to go home, you can go home now. But look to Jesus. The storm is coming. Things are happening. And where is he? He's not afraid. Now remember, he's in the midst of the storm. We're not talking about Peter walking on the water with Jesus in this scenario. But he's in the boat with you. And he's in the midst of the storm. And then Jesse has a tendency with the storms going on in his life. I don't need to look to anybody else. And I start clamoring, well, what about this? What about that? And next thing you know, I'm telling my buddy, I don't know what to do about this. And I don't know what to do about that. And finally, somebody on that boat got a good idea. Because they went to find Jesus. We need to find Jesus. We need to bring it to him. He's not chastising them to be mean to them. It's awesome that they went to him. Let's go to the other scenario. Jesus walking on the water and Peter in the boat. And he says, "Lord, seeing it's you, let me come out there." And Peter does, right? We always say Jesus is the only one to walk on water. Well, no, that's a fib. Peter did it. When he was focused on Christ, he got out of the boat and he walked on water. And he started sinking because he started looking at what? The storm. The things going on around him. And he starts to sink. But he cries to Jesus. And it says in the Gospel of Mark, immediately Jesus reached out his hand. Immediately. Jesus is in your boat. Jesus is in the midst of your storm, whatever it may be. For my friends Ricky and Amanda, I pray that you see Jesus is in the midst of your storm. And he is your rock. For the Polisari family, Jesus in the midst of your storm, this moment of time, he's your rock. Whatever we're dealing with illness, with business, with headaches, with whatever else it may be, heartache, Jesus is there. Seek him. Seek him. Peter cried out to him. These guys in the boat, they finally got it in their head. Let's wake him up. So I kind of laugh. I think about it like little kids, you know. They're monkeying around in the kitchen. Mom is taking a nap. They're monkeying around in the kitchen, and they're going to make macaroni and cheese. Maybe surprise mom. They're all excited. And so you got three little muggles there, and they're trying to get their chairs over to the stove, and they got the water pot spilling everywhere, and they're dumping everything in. All of a sudden, the thing starts boiling, and you know what happens with noodles. When they start boiling, what takes place? Foam starts coming like crazy and starts bubbling over. Kids will start panic. And when it starts getting bad enough, what will they do if they do the right thing? Go get mom. Go get mom. Go get Jesus. Come to Jesus. So, they went and woke him up. And they have a simple plea. Save us. Save us, Lord. We're dying. We're in trouble. They did the right thing. But it doesn't mean that Jesus isn't going to teach them. That's a good parent. That's a good mother. That's a good father. That's a good Savior. He wants them to think, and he says, why are you afraid? Why are you scared over the changes in your life? Why are you scared of what's taking place around you? Because you took your eyes off me. In the beginning, they were looking at the storm. In the beginning, they were looking at the water coming over the rails. He didn't say they didn't have any faith. Why are you afraid? Because you have little faith. But the faith of a grain of a mustard seed is all we need. Because that little faith, as much as we want to beat these guys up, that little faith did what? Drove them to Jesus. Called them to Jesus. Doesn't say anything more. He doesn't rebuke them. That's what we sometimes see. All right. Mom will take care of the macaroni and cheese. She gets up. Jesus gets up. And what does he do? He rebukes the storm. If this is going to bring fear, if this is going to bring trial, if this is going to bring difficulty to their life, he's going to stop it. I don't know what the stop looks like. Evie had a storm in her life. I love that lady. I'd visit with her in a nursing home. Sometimes she knew I was there, sometimes she didn't. The storm is over. She is now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I don't know what the end of our storms looks like, but this I do know. Jesus is there. He is there. Not my will, but your will. So he gets up, he cleans up the mess, rebukes the storm, and the wind and the sea became calm. And all the men on the boat, they were blown away. They were marveling These are guys that followed them, that saw miracle upon miracle upon miracle. And they actually asked themselves a question. What kind of guy is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? He's not just merely human. He is our God. He is not just merely human. He is our Savior. And he saves. That's his job. Every storm is done because she is saved. May we always look to him as children of God in the midst of our trial, and as confirmants and as adults, may we always continually look to him to guide our footsteps in this life. For Jesus' name's sake.